love when young people, it becomes real to young people. And we had an awesome week of Sila this week and just had to, got to have communion together, and it's just awesome how real it's becoming. I feel like this is what it be too. I hope you guys had a holy week. I had, I feel like it was the opposite of a holy week. I think anything that could go wrong went wrong. You know when you're having one of those days where you walk by a door and your sweatshirt gets caught and you're just like, son of a gun, that door. And especially yesterday, it was just like one thing after the other was going wrong. I really felt like I should just sit down and sit on my hands so I didn't knock anything over again. And I mean, it's just been quite a week. But then, you know, all this Holy Week, we've been talking about it in preschool and with our Sila kids and our Sunday school kids, of just that this is a time of remembrance and to remember what took place and what happened. And so we all know that today is celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is an amazing and beautiful thing. And we talked a little bit about last week, just the moments leading up to that and the disciples and their confusion and the frustration and not knowing what's going to happen. And so I think that was such a beautiful display of what happened. We know that he goes and he is in the grave for 3 days and he rises again and all that beauty. And so I'm actually not going to spend a whole lot of time on that portion of our scripture, but I was just going through the various books of Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I love how different each one of those is and the different perspectives. If you've ever studied personality profiles, we used to do those quite a bit at the church, and we used a specific kind, but if you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each one has a different personality. And Matthew is very factual. Sometimes Matthew is a little too boring for me, but I like his perspective. He gets the facts in there. John is so relatable to me. He's a little bit like just all about the goodness and the love of God. And John was thoroughly convinced that he was God's favorite, which I think is just what a place to be in. What confidence to have. What an attitude to live from, that you are secure, that your God loves you. That's a beautiful example of how each one of us can feel.
Yes.
And each one of us can have those emotions. And Luke, I mean, I love reading all of them, but when you read that last chapter, which I encourage you to do, I hope this week you were doing some readings, because leading up to this day, just to put things into remembrance and perspective. But when you read the end chapter of most of the Gospels, except for John, his final words are, go and make disciples, right? It's called our Great Commission. And really, they were tasked with a very heavy job to go start the early church. And they had a lot on their plate. And of course, we know that they were still, as friends of Jesus, processing that death. We have to remember that these were real people. And we have to remember that they have real emotions. Sometimes we can make them abstract, and we can make them just in this book, in this fairy tale land, and that, I feel like, is such an injustice to think about the emotions that those people had. We talked about that last week a little bit, about how Jesus, he hurt for his friends. He hurt that he was going to leave them, and that, man, there's going to be confusion. Peter was thinking he was going to be his best friend and the most loyal companion, and Jesus is looking at him going, buddy, you're not, and I don't know how else to tell you, but it's not going to go well. And just the feeling of that. And so as we read today, I really do encourage you to use your imagination. We sometimes are afraid to do that, to see things in a different kind of different way, but really put yourself in that spot. Put yourself in that emotion to remind yourself that, man, they probably had all sorts of crazy feelings at that moment. There's probably people walking in and out. There's probably babies crying. There's human needs that needed to be met, all those things. And so we just put yourself in that place as we're going to read John chapter 21. And I am going to read it on the Message version because I just liked how some of it said. So, of course, Jesus has died. He rose again. He's appeared a few times to some people, and now he's appearing one more time to the disciples. And Peter, of course we know, has denied Jesus 3 times when he could have sworn he wasn't going to be like that. And yet he's denied Peter. And I can relate to Peter, because I feel like he was probably sitting in a little bit of shame, right? And going, I really mucked that up. I I thought for sure I was going to be so loyal. I thought for sure. And, and so he's probably sitting in a little bit of shame. He's probably sitting in a little bit of embarrassment. He's probably really wondering what's about to come next when he feels like maybe I didn't listen very well to what I know he was warning us about something. And so he and his disciples are saying, and this is a super relatable thing when it comes to my husband, and Peter goes, let's go fishing. Let's get out of town for a minute. Let's go get on the water where there's no distractions. It's just us, and let's fish. And so we're going to start in verse 1. It says, after this, Jesus appeared again to the disciples, this time at the Tiberias Sea. This is how he said it. Or sorry, this is how he did it. I liked how he said that. This is how he did it. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the brothers Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. And Simon Peter announced, I'm going fishing. The rest of them replied, we're going with you. That's a good group of friends right there. Because if you think about it, Peter probably wasn't real proud of himself in that moment. He was probably actually kind of like I get and wanted to run away and be alone and kind of hide in his embarrassment. And his friends go, no, we're going to go with you. We're going to be with you today. They went and got into the boat. They caught nothing that night. When the sun came up, Jesus was standing on the beach, but they didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to them, good morning. Did you catch anything for breakfast? They answered, no. He said, throw the net off the right side of the boat and see what happens. They did what he said. All of a sudden, there were so many fish in it, they weren't strong enough to pull it in. Then the disciple Jesus loved, that's John, he liked to talk to himself, thought himself like that. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the master. When Simon Peter realized that it was the master, he threw on some clothes for he was stripped to work. I don't have a lot of questions about that. And dove into the sea. The other disciples came in by boat, for they weren't far from land, in 100 yards or so, pulling along the net full of fish. When they got out of the boat, they saw a fire laid with fish and bread cooking on it. I saw something this morning that said, when Jesus found his disciples, he didn't give a long speech. He made them breakfast. Isn't that cool? He just, let's fellowship. Jesus said, bring some of the fish you've just caught. Simon Peter joined them and pulled the net to shore, 153 big fish. And even with all those fish, the net didn't rip. And Jesus said, breakfast is ready. Not one of the disciples dared ask, who are you? They knew it was the master. Jesus then took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus had shown himself alive to the disciples since being raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, master, you know I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. He then asked a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, master, you know I love you. Jesus said, shepherd my sheep. Then he said it a third time. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was upset that he asked for a third time, do you love me? So he answered, master, you know everything there is to know. You've got to know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. I'm telling you the very truth now. When you were young, you dressed yourself, went wherever you wished. But when you get old, you'll have to stretch out your hands while someone else dresses you and takes you where you don't want to go. He said this to hint at the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he commanded, follow me. Turning his head, Peter noticed the disciple Jesus loved, that's John again, following right behind. When Peter noticed him, he asked Jesus, master, what's going to happen to him? And Jesus said, if I want him to live until I come again, what's it to you? You follow me. That is how the rumor got among the brothers that this disciple wouldn't die. But that is not what Jesus said. He simply said, if I want him to live until I come again, what's that to you? This is the same disciple who was eyewitness to all these things and wrote them down. We all know that his eyewitness account is reliable and accurate. This is John kind of signing off the book. There are so many other things Jesus did. If they were all written down, each of them one by one, I can't imagine a world big enough to hold such a library of books. I think that would be a beautiful way to sign off his journal of what happened when Christ was on this earth. But you know, I'm a person that struggles if there's not closure in something. And very rarely do we find closure in the book of, in the Bible. There's Jesus taught with open-ended questions a lot. He put things back on other people. What do you say about this? You know, all these things. We can read stories in the Old Testament where all of a sudden there's this big dramatic war and then it just ends. You don't really know what happened to people. That kind of drives me crazy. I kind of want to know. And I kind of want, how do they recover from that, you know? And we rarely find it. And in our real life, we rarely have what we would think is closure, where everything just, oh, that's why that happened. We don't usually know why things go the way they go for years. And maybe even our lifetime, like, why, God, did it play out like this, you know? And I've always been that type of person that doesn't necessarily blame God for things, but I have to say in the last couple months, I've had a lot of questions for God. I'm like, why are we doing this? What is happening in this scenario? And so in this situation, I love how this chapter ends because it kind of finishes it with a nice little bow. We see Peter really mess up, deny him 3 times. And yet Jesus finishes with 3 questions for him. Where Peter goes, yes, I love you. Feed my sheep. Yes, I love you. Okay, take care of my people. And that was Jesus giving Peter his mission. And in the book of Acts, when we open up the book of Acts, we see Peter hits the ground running. But what Jesus was trying to get across to him was, Peter, it's done. Yep, you denied me 3 times. You made a mess of things, but it's done. Now go. Pick up and go. When we read about miracles that Jesus performed, like the paralytic, he says, pick up your mat and go. Don't stay and dwell anymore, Peter, in what you did wrong. Don't stay and dwell anymore about how you could have done it different or if you had known or wishing it away. Get up and go.
Yeah.
And I love that Peter got to have that moment with Jesus. Because I know I've been in Peter's shoes where I've clearly messed up. And I've clearly gone against what I know God is asking me to do or what I know that just who I am as a person and I know I could have done better. I've been there. And sometimes I want to sit in that shame a little bit longer because I'm just too afraid to get up and go. And yet Jesus was like, Peter, it's done. Get up and go. And in the book of Acts, man, he goes. Peter is so instrumental in the early church. He hits the ground running. But if he had stayed there in those mistakes, in that shame, we would have missed out on a lot of what he established in the early church. And in real time, what we sing about, what we talk about, what we witness about, that God is full of mercy and full of grace, in real time, we get to see Jesus extend Peter mercy. He could have lectured him and said, buddy, I told you, stay awake and pray, lest you give in to temptation. I told you to watch out, to be on alert. I told you you were going to deny me 3 times. He could have gave him a huge lecture, but he didn't do that. He simply reminded Peter who he was. Peter, you love me, right? I love you. Let's go take care of these sheep. Let's go. He refused to let Peter stay where he was at. And to me, that's the beauty of this text, because you get to see it come full circle. He denied him 3 times. Jesus asks him 3 times. Peter says it 3 times. I love you. Feed my sheep. This is what you're going to do. And I find that so beautiful. When they get up and they go, of course, when I read that text, I have a hard time not thinking that John's just like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to follow along. And you can kind of get the feeling that like Peter's like, dude, this is kind of my moment. And Jesus says, Peter, stay in your lane. What is it that I've asked you to do? Not what your brothers, I've asked you to take care of my sheep. Are you going to do it? Who cares about the person on your left and the person on your right? They have their own relationship with God. We're here to go make disciples. What is making a disciple? We hear about it a lot, and in the Christian church and in the world today that we live in, you can hear it a lot. Let's make a discipleship group. Let's set up a discipleship group. Let's do all those things. Those are wonderful and awesome. If we're not making disciples out of us, if we're making disciples out of Christ, for pointing to Him and saying, look what He did. Not look what I did. Don't look at how I live my life. Don't look at the rules and the standards and the morals that I have. What is Jesus saying to you? You're to follow Him. I'm pointing to Him. It's not about me. It's not about how this church operates. Are you doing what Christ asked you to do? It's personal for each one of us. Their Great Commission was a big commission. They had a big job on their hands. And constantly it was going to be to point back to what Jesus did. And we read that in Matthew 28 and in verse 18. It says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Go, and I got your back. Go and do what I've asked you to do. And as you do it, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to be chasing you down. We sing that song, and I love it. We talk about it almost weekly. That He's chasing us down with His goodness and His mercy and His grace. Go, and I'll follow you. Go and leave your past behind, Peter. Happened. Dealt with it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Go and forgive yourself, Peter, because you can't stay in shame. It's going to hold you back for too long. Go and forgive those who sinned against you. You cannot move on if you're going to hold bitterness against somebody. You got to go. And there's too much to do, so you got to forgive them and you got to go. Go and point others to Christ. Just go. Love them through the worst. Go. Search God with all your heart. Go. Remind them who He is. Go. Tell them that they can hear the voice of God for themselves. That gift that was about to fall upon them in that upper room, that gift of the Holy Spirit is going to radically change their life. That opens the door where they have an intense and personal relationship. That it's not about Peter, what you say, it's what the Holy Spirit is saying to them. But point them to that. Tell them about that. Remind them that that's who they're created to be. That God has created a helper to be with them all the days of their lives. That He's speaking through them. That He's speaking to them individually. Go and know that He's with you to the end of the ages. Isn't that a comforting thing?
Yes.
As I go about my life, as I go about doing what He's asked me to do, He is there with me all the way through. I can't imagine the feeling they had when Jesus finally didn't leave this earth. And they knew what they were supposed to do. They were now equipped to go do it. But to not have your friend there, to not have your leader right there, had to be an intense feeling for them. Yet they were determined to go. When you flip over and you go to the book of Acts, which is a great place to start this next week, you see the disciples going for it, knowing that they have Christ following them, that they have Him with them. He's going to be with them to the end of the ages. So I encourage you, whatever it is that might be holding you back a little. Peter, when we see that, he's like, I got to go fishing. I can only imagine the thoughts that are going through his head. And he's overwhelmed. He's hurt. He's sad. He's confused. He's disappointed with himself. I'm going to get out of here for a little bit. And he runs smack into Jesus. Mm-hmm. Where Jesus extends nothing but kindness and mercy and grace. And then he tells him, leave it behind. Let's go. Whatever you feel, man, maybe you know God's asked you to do something. Maybe you know God has called you into something specific. It is time to leave the past behind and go. Mm-hmm. And be confident that He goes with you. You know, I don't necessarily subscribe a lot to, I just don't pay too much attention to what's going on in the world, because if I do, I'm the type of personality that goes way down the rabbit hole, and then I probably don't want to get up, you know? So I just don't think about the world. But I will say, it is a crazy world right now. What is right is being called wrong, and what is wrong is being called right. And there's a lot that's happening that's shaking the earth right now. We don't have time to sit in our shame anymore. We don't have time to deny what God's asked us to do anymore. We don't have time to sit there and feel unqualified, unloved, unworthy. He has taken care of it. He said, go. And so now is the time. If you've been on the fence about living your life for God, if you've been on the fence of whether or not he loves you and accepts you, if you've been sitting in shame, it is today's the day to leave it behind and go. Because we have a lot and work to do. What Peter started, the disciples started, we need to be continuing. Pointing people back to him, saying, look what he did. He's here with you. He's speaking to you. What's he saying to you?